Blog Talk Radio.
Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of this show. Tonight, I plan to do a prayer reading as a way of promoting my upcoming book called Prayers to Heal, Waking Up the Mystical Divine. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Recently, I have had two authors come on the show who are poets, and Chris Longenecker read her poems from her newly published book. The book was called How Trees Must Feel, and Diane Robitaille came on the show recently, within the last month or so, and she read poems from her work, which she calls Words for the Wordless. And listening to poetry being read like that certainly brought new life to the work, and it was, I know that over the years we've all been to poetry readings, so we all know what that is like, and or maybe we haven't, but poetry readings are just a wonderful way to bring an added dimension or even many, many dimensions to the words that have been written on the page. So Prayers to Heal, Waking Up the Mystical Divine is the name of my new book, and it all started back in November of 2009 when I became a what is called a squidoo angel. And it was sort of a short-lived stint. I don't remember exactly why that was, but the whole idea of becoming an angel was so cool to me, because it just made me feel that we are all angels. And actually, let me just explain that a squidoo angel is a sort of a way for squidoo lens masters. Now, squidoo.com is the site that I'm referring to, and a lot of people haven't heard of it, but it's something that we, as Wudu lens makers, have been very active in, or some of us have. It's a wonderful community, and we write Wudu lenses as a way to express ourselves, to tell stories, and a lot of people have gotten into selling the products on their Wudu lenses. So, becoming a squidoo angel is nothing more, really, you could say nothing more than looking over squidoo lenses and deciding whether they are less worthy or if they are not somehow, if they're spammy, or if they are have content that go against the squidoo terms of service, then as a squid angel, we actually report those lenses. But for me, and especially as a Pisces who just thinks these things are so cool, it was it stimulated within me this need to write, to decide to write prayers as a way. And I called the whole thing in the beginning Squid Angel Prayers, and then it just evolved into your daily prayer for healing, your prayer for today. And every day I did that for 365 days, starting on November the 1st, 2009. that was my own blogging challenge, and each prayer started to run through certain themes, the themes being love, or another one being rebirth, sort of going through the season, the seasonal changes that we have here in Pennsylvania. I know a lot of people don't have those seasonal changes, but the seasonal changes allow for us to feel, you know, rebirth in the spring and sort of a death and dying scenario in the autumn. And not to say that winter represents death, because my father used to always point out that during, even in the dead of winter, you can look out and see trees starting to have a different look to their structure, to their, that there is an actual bud, not a bud that is about to blossom or bloom, but a bud that is actually sometimes red, and it looks like it's beginning to come alive gradually, so that there is no such thing as death in the winter, because there is this reemergence that even if it's slow, it does happen. And then, of course, summertime is just an amazing life force of bounty and beauty. And another theme that runs through these prayers is the Conestoga River, which flows by our house. A tremendous amount of nature, nature spirits, the great nature. Beautiful animals, the wildlife that happens to truly come alive along a river setting is magnificent. And even recently we've seen an eagle or two, and sometimes wild turkeys come about. Even what's so unusual too is that we live only a quarter mile from Lancaster City, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So we are down in a wild, completely wild area with all kinds of wildlife, and we only live just a little bit away from a thriving metropolis. So there you have the themes running through, and then we have the fact that I started to write these prayers, not just because of Squidoo or being a Squidoo angel, but I had some things that were going on in my life that were fearful to me. I was afraid of the fact that my one dog looked like he was about to die, and indeed he did pass on within a few months after I started writing the prayers in November of 2009. And we had some issues in our family with some chronic illnesses, and so I was thinking that I had to develop some faith, some optimism about the fact that the ongoingness of life was something that I needed to touch base with. The fact that as a consequence of writing prayers, I began to truly know that there is no death, that no one ever dies, that even there isn't even a separation between the people who pass, or the dogs who pass, or the animals we love who pass, and us. And the only reason we see that there is a separation is because we've come to be brainwashed in our society and in the physical world, and in a world that doesn't believe in life after death. And in some instances, you wonder if the majority of the world even believes in a power of life that flows through everything. So as getting into prayer writing has been a process and a journey of renaissance for me. It's been a renaissance because I see that all of life is flowing and we are all a part of each other, and that the fear that exists out in the world, I am a nurse, I see a lot of fear in the world of medicine, I see a lot of fear in the world of politics. I see just a tremendous amount of fear regarding some of the things that are happening in our world regarding political viewpoints about our Mother Earth and a lack of respect for her. And this is something that can cause fear in a lot of the people I know, people who are environmentally active, and they may or may not, you know, they have a sort of an apocalyptic feeling about the end of the world or something like that. But so these prayers for me have given me a tremendous feeling about the ongoingness of life. So the very first, or I should say the second prayer I wrote was November the 2nd, 2009. And it was, every prayer post has a picture, usually pictures I have taken or pictures that have been taken in the public domain. And for some reason, at that time, I was thinking about the little children of the world. The prayer goes, "Dear God," and then another thing is, after a while, I start to say, "Dear Goddess, Great Spirit, Krishna, Buddha, and all the holy ones, please allow little children to find protection from life's storms. Please allow the loving wings of the angelic realm surround and guide and bless. Allow the storms to recede just long enough for all fear to melt away, to reveal the magnificence of the human spirit now and forever. Amen. Allow our prayerful hearts bless the little children." So I'm just going to randomly, as I said, I wrote 365 prayers, and at this time I write 5 prayers during the week. So randomly I'm just going to shoot up here. At first, these prayers were rather short, November the 6th, 2009. "Dear Goddess, as the moonlight beams light upon my path at night and lights my heart as well, please use this luminosity to bear witness to the inner light within us all. Allow your inner light shine prayerfully today. Om Peace. Amen." And as I said in the beginning, these prayers were kind of short. And then let's go into December, because in December I think they started getting a little longer. and then they get into the solstice, which is a tremendous time to contemplate the light that is, you know, the end. The December the 21st is the beginning of winter, but also the beginning of the returning light. So the 20th of December, 2009, "Dear Goddess, sometimes another person's trauma can heal us of our own. By hearing another person's story, we are grateful for the wisdom contained in the experience that lies beyond the words. Today we are healing witnesses to the pain of another person, and each of us accepts the blessing and wisdom that we all are able to teach in the here and the now. As families come together this holiday, may we be open to one another without falling prey to old habits of relating and relationship. May we honestly hear what the person is saying. May we see them perhaps for the first time in our lives. Om Peace. Amen." And then the very first day of winter, which is the next day after this prayer. "Dear Goddess, we are indeed fortunate today because we have one another. Everyone is our teacher. Let us hear the lessons we need to learn today. Let us not turn away from the stark truth of our evolution to the mirrors of other people, earth creatures, and blue sky. Let us be true to our own inner guidance, which tells us to stop and help another person, to stop and feel our way through the words of what a person is saying, and to find the core that connects us in the process of global awakening. We are awake if we awaken. We are love if we strive to love. Om Peace. Amen. Dear Goddess, our bullfrog, who lives in the basement, is now in hibernation. He is deep down in his pool of water, entranced and still, quiet in this darkest moment before the returning light. Our bullfrog promises us that springtime is still just a thought, but we know this thought will manifest into a beautiful array of bright greens and rainbow flowers in just a few short months. This is the inevitable process, the first day of winter and the returning sun, the first day of summer and the light cycles shorten. What a magnificent irony bestowed on us all, the great cosmic mystery, the rhythm of the seasons, the lunar expansion and contraction, the tides and fertility of new life, no matter what the time of year. The bullfrog thanks the angels today for his slumbering peace. Om, peace. Amen. And then I have a picture of him up there in that post, and he's, well, although I don't have a picture of him hibernating. That would be a little tough because he was down under the water. So I'm just going to move up here a little bit. And we'll move up to the 17th of December. Dear Goddess, today I engage in thoughtful, compassionate communication. I know that through this energy, healing occurs. Lives are changed. Words and thoughts have power. But what is more powerful is to stay silent and communicate with actions or eye-to-eye communication. Gossip and criticisms are the most harmful words I can speak. Today I refrain entirely from words spoken to hurt another person. Words of encouragement, words of empowerment, words to include. No words can describe this power of kindness. Om peace. Amen. And I remember very well as we get into January, the light actually is noticeably returning. Dear Goddess, this is the 27th of December, 2009. As we arrange our goals for the new year, imagine what it will be like to meet each goal and acquire more and more in the process. Imagine making more money, achieving more fame and recognition. Will these things make us happier? Every study ever done on this subject shows that the acquisition of more hasn't made anyone happier, not one single person. So in addition to all of my goals, I choose to be happy now. This year I choose to be the kind of person people want to be around because I make them feel calm, good, and peaceful. This year I choose actions, thoughts, and habits that expand my energy to give an inner vitality and outer radiance. I will sing and dance more, laugh and whistle more. I will adjust my belief system to only resonate with a loving and supportive universe. Om, peace, amen. Dear Goddess, this is the 28th. This is the year to expand into this experience of life and living. The practice of blame, poor me, and complaining are unknown to me now. Challenges and problems are instead seen as gifts with lessons to be learned. Instead of feeling guilt or shame, I now make peace with myself and the people around me. This is the year to find solutions to so-called problems and challenges and take responsibility for the part I played in creating my own reality. Angels encourage all of us this year to expand, to grow, to prosper into the life we choose to live. Angels encourage all of us this year to live our highest good and look at events as they occur and ask, if this were happening for a higher purpose, what would it be? Om, peace. Amen. And then the 31st of December, 2009. Dear Goddess, this is the year I give up all judgment of all people, all places, all things, and replace it with only love. This is the year I choose to love and serve, and every day the flow of love grows a little stronger. This is my vow as a nurse, to serve no matter who the person, no matter what they did or did not do, even if they are injured after blowing up a plane in a terrorist attack. They are in my care, and I must love them. This is my vow as a human being, to wish everyone the happiness the angels want for us all. I vow to see the beauty in all human beings, creatures, rocks, trees, and sky. This is the year I silently send happiness and love from my heart to all that surrounds me, and also wish comfort, ease, good health, and peace to them too. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. Thank you. I love you. Om. Peace. Amen. So then we advance into another year. And every day is a new day. And every evening we are, it's best to contemplate what has gone before and what is about to take place in the future. Let's see here. Dear Goddess, everything, every person, my daily work, every relationship and every person I meet, everyone I help and who helps me allows me to set my inner compass. All of it teaches me how to work, play on my own personal power, how to refine my own personal energy, as well as give insight as to how I give and receive all of the available energy in the world. Goddess works through the personal power of love, grace, and faith. Goddess works through our animals and the messages we receive daily through books, media, and so-called chance meetings. How do we choose to learn from all of the seemingly random stimuli? Do we slow down and pause in order to receive messages coherently and deliberately? Or does the incoming data speed up our senses, our reaction times? Do we walk and breathe faster, allowing the mind to run rampant with recycled thoughts that go round and around with nothing real to offer? Today is the day we wake up collectively to the music of the spheres, the great cosmic messages that are ours if we receive them. Also, we can learn to give what we receive tenfold because we understand the beauty of the gift. Look in the eyes of your companion animal today. What revelation can be garnered from those soulful windows into the fathomless pool of spirit? Who is speaking to you through those eyes? Listen without doubt or fear. Receive with the love that brought you into this world. Om. Peace. Amen. Now, my dog, Makrinda, had passed on the 6th of January, and for several days before his passing, even though I didn't want to believe he was going to go, In these prayers, I faced the truth. And if I hadn't been writing these prayers, I would have been in a total state of denial. So on the 5th of January, today I embrace all of the blessings of my life. Even though a challenge may not seem to be a blessing, it always is. My dog, Makrinda, is sick tonight and may be trying to die. I value his valiant effort, his struggle. I thank him for his great service he bestows of now and always to me and my family. Embracing death is not the way of our society. Embracing illness is not very popular either. But focusing on the fear of loss clouds the blessings, the joy, the gifts of a life well lived, of service beyond any I have ever known. The highest good for me and Makrinda is to pause and really experience the love he has for me and me for him. Dear angels, take him. If his time is up, he is yours, but make sure you leave a place next to him for me when I am born into the infinite love of all that is. Om. Peace. Amen. So that was, the dog Makrinda did die in my arms the next day. I was very, very appreciative and had a tremendous amount of gratitude for the fact that he could die with me. And it was painful, and I didn't do well for a long time, really, in the sense that I would fall a lot. And I think that I was just trying to find my focus in life after the death of my dog. But then we had we still have Ulysses, who is Mukunda's soulmate, really. And Ulysses has taught me that Mukunda did not really die at all, that he is always here with us. And that's a tremendous gift for sure. So, let's see. Just moving along here, just finding something that's appropriate. The 13th of February, 2010. Apparently the day before I was talking about how there are so many spiritual practices that we can't possibly keep up with them all. So, dear goddess, perhaps I was harsh yesterday by the talk of all the different spiritual practices and how in the world is it possible to keep up with all of them. As I write this prayer, I am lying in bed with Ulysses at my feet. Tom is reading the Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. I am writing and gazing at the picture of Paramahansa Yogananda with a shawl over his shoulders as he writes the autobiography of a yogi with a fountain pen poised in his hand, just as I, too, am writing these words with a fountain pen. Yogananda is writing his book in the picture on a wooden table with a brass lamp nearby, and behind that, a vast window reveals the grounds of the retreat center in Southern California where the whole of that book was written. I love Yogananda and have studied his works extensively. One thing Yogananda advises is to find one spiritual practice, just one, and stay with it, allowing the messages and lessons of that teaching to deepen and penetrate your entire psyche like a baptism. He also said, assuming you choose his teaching as your path to freedom, that there may be dry periods where you become discouraged. The gist of Yogananda's teaching is meditation and opening your heart to receive Goddess's message. I remember him saying that he sat in meditation one time for hours, if not days, until he received God's message. This is how persistent the yogi was. Today, I meditated in the steam bath at the YMCA where we joined this week. I am happy to be able to exercise and meditate, and as I left the facility today, I felt a sense of renewal like I've never felt before. Om peace. Amen. And of course, there's a tremendous interesting comments that people make on these prayers. And they have added tremendous benefit, I think, to what the prayers actually came to be. Let's see. I was at one point contemplating Zen riddles. Today I will let my mind wander as I consider Zen riddles to get my mind ready for the week ahead. In this experiment, I am embracing every contradiction I can think of in order to relax my hold on life. 1, accept myself even as I demand that I accomplish more. 2, the more I love myself, the more I love other people. 3, as I become emotionally self-sufficient, the more I am able to connect with other people. 4, the more I connect with other people, the more I cherish my solitude. 5, when I hike to the mountaintop, I forget how far I've come. 6, as I declutter every aspect of my life, I suddenly remember my dreams. 8, the days are long, the nights are short in summer. The days are short, the nights are long in winter. Even as we embrace the eternal rebirth of spring, and that which appears to die in autumn, it all merges to give wisdom to the full cycle of moon and season of human existence. 9, we think a person in prison made a mistake. What if, as the prison guru Kitty teaches, and I'll explain that in a minute, we are where we are supposed to be to learn the lessons we are supposed to learn? What if, as prison guru Kitty teaches, there is no such thing as a mistake? 10, the less I think about myself, the more I forget about myself. The less I think, the more I create and recreate. Om, peace, amen. Prison Guru Kitty came about through the comments of a blog reader pertaining to the fact that the reader worked in a prison in upper state Vermont, where, of course, most things are more humane than many places in the country. But they found this little kitten in the base of this prison, and they took the cat and brought her into the prison, and she pretty much had her own life. She knew where she was going. They fed her, but I'm sure she was off and about. But a lot of the time, she just sat in the entranceway of this area where the prisoners would go get their medicines. And little prison kitten would sit there and wait to be petted by the people going by to get their medicines. And these people really loved this cat. The prisoners looked forward to having contact with this animal, and it was a tremendous experience for them, and they loved this cat. So the other night I had a prison patient as a nurse, and I brought up this idea of having animals in prisons. And the prisoner and the guard that was with her kind of worried immediately about people who would do harm to the animal. And maybe that would happen, and maybe it wouldn't. But I think animals are very important to have in places where people have pretty much been thrown aside by society, and that would be a good place for healing. I mean, there is no rehabilitation in prisons, but if you had a beautiful animal there, that would be one form of rehabilitation that might wake somebody up, is my idea. So, moving right along into March of 2010. Let's see. The blog URL is www.praytoheal.com. Now, this is March 31st, 2010. I just want to make sure this is not a... Let's see. Oh, this is good. Dear Goddess, the body wants to tell us what she needs. The most important thing we can do to receive these messages is to harmonize body, mind, and soul. In the United States, our medical practices have fostered an overdependence on doctors, thinking they know better than our own body as to what is best for her. Our medical practices have also created an overdependence on pharmaceutical drugs, many of which are addicting. The other day, I sat through a conference on anesthesia and was appalled by the speaker's laissez-faire attitude about this drug, that drug, which this one does, what that one does. I know this same person would laugh at treating pain with healing touch or distant healing. I've seen it enough to know. We have lost our self-reliance in healthcare and have forgotten how to properly take care of ourselves. We want to be healthy, but have fallen for the cabinet for prescription drugs that doctors say will cure all of our ills. I saw a recent cover of Newsweek magazine which revealed that antidepressant drugs are nothing more than placebos with dangerous side effects of withdrawal if you ever decide to get off of them. People today just want to be treated, and they want their health problems to be taken care of by somebody else. Let's see. We had a radio show on 3/30/2010 when Todd Silva was our guest, and he is a gentleman who hides dollar bills here and there so that people find them and feel that they've discovered a gift from the universe. And he has a program called Give a Dollar a Day Away, which is so cool. So on our radio show, Todd Silva was our guest, and we discussed the time when he had a conversation with Goddess asking for an answer, and he received it over a series of days. Todd was strengthening his sense of self-reliance. As we have said many times on this prayer blog, ask and you will receive your answer. There are no exceptions. The only prayer that goes unanswered is the one you fail to communicate. The body depends on all of us to strengthen our self-reliance, to open the channels of discovery between us and higher power, have gratitude for the miracle of each beautiful day, and to take the next step that leads to even greater health. Om peace. Amen. And once again, there were a lot of comments on that one. So, and then we go to April. April 2010. My friend Joan Adams and I used to do this radio show, and actually we do a radio show that we did earlier in the evening with Squidoo friends. But so I mentioned Joan Adams in this prayer. One of the great synchronicities over the last few days was when Joan was talking about a book she read over 20 years ago by an author she swore must live on Seabrook Island, where we spent the last few days of our time together. The book is called God's Joyful Surprise, and the author is Sue Monk Kidd. Sue Monk Kidd also wrote The Mermaid's Chair and The Secret Life of Bees. Minutes after talking about God's Joyful Surprise, Joan found the book in a bookstore we decided to browse through. I read it on my flight back to Pennsylvania. This is a book I normally would throw across the room, but I kept reading it on Joan's recommendation. It's about Kidd's spiritual odyssey as she works her way through to mystical revelations that rise above any one religion to embrace the whole of humanity. The book references the Christian religion, which is how the author was raised. She is a minister's wife, after all. But soon she discovers Thomas Merton and Brother Lawrence, and I relaxed knowing the book was exactly what I needed to read, so I immersed myself in every word. The end of the book addresses what this prayer blog is all about: prayer without ceasing, conversing with Goddess in an ongoingness, while at the same time enjoying the beauty of everyday life. It's about seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary and allowing spirit to be in our hearts and mind and just be with it all. A conversation came up surrounding the question, where does our identity lie? What roles do we play, and do they vary depending on who we are with or where we happen to be? Are we so splintered that roles get confused, and instead of becoming more of who we are, we feel alienated from source and center? Allow Goddess to be centered in our heart, and from there, all things are taken care of. Om, peace, amen. I'm just going to move right along here. In a way, doing a prayer reading is like doing a poetry reading, I think, interestingly enough. It's all poetic, poetry. Poetry is at the heart of life. The crystalline grid is something that we discussed on this radio show with Amy, all about energy, Amy Flynn. And it's a very interesting concept that the crystalline grid is actually something that physically exists in the universe that has just recently become activated. And it has a lot to do with more love is being expressed now than ever before. So, dear Goddess, I did some research on the crystalline grid and found that the light energy that it emanates activates a transfiguration within those who are attuned to it. The grid allows us to communicate with people from all over the planet who are in similar higher states of consciousness, a telecommunication system, if you will. The crystalline grid assists the shift that is happening right now, right here. We can learn to attune ourselves to this grid on a daily basis, as Amy's collective, demonstrated on the call the other night, so that we strengthen our ability to transmit and receive higher dimensional forms of light energy. We need this to midwife the process of healing that is needed to balance, center, and align all the energies involved. A language of light exists, and we can learn to understand and speak this language as we engage with others in the process. Apparently, there is also a solar, galactic, and cosmic crystalline grid. These are all connected to the planetary Earth crystalline grid, and it all operates as one whole, holographic, flowing, non-physical entity. The Mother Mary is illuminated here in this beautiful clarity of the day. Now, the reason I say that is because we go to what is called the Grotto of Lourdes in Emmitsburg, Maryland, where Mother Mary is everywhere in that beautiful area. So as you're approaching the Grotto of Lourdes, even 10 miles away, you see this beautiful golden statue of Mother Mary, and she leads you to the area. And there's actually people are healed, and people feel whole. They spread their ashes, people's ashes there. So the Mother Mary is illuminated here in this beautiful clarity of the day. We need to become sensitive to moments like these when the light appears for us to appreciate. We must slow down in order to capture the full intensity. The language of light and love is speaking. Om peace. Amen. I highly recommend, if you are in the area, Pennsylvania, Maryland, even Washington, D.C., or whatever. I mean, you could travel a day or two to come to this beautiful place called the Grotto of Lourdes in Emmitsburg, Maryland. It is absolutely stunning. Dear Goddess, I've been reading a book by Elizabeth Lesser called Broken Open. She speaks of Ram Dass frequently throughout her book. He was involved in her Omega Institute for many years. She wrote of the time she went to visit him sometime after his stroke. She was taken aback by how he had dropped his ego entirely. He was a being of love. And I had placed a video up of him speaking after his stroke. As you can see in this video, he imparts his words with an energy of pure love. What a beautiful smile. What a kind and gentle soul. I read a quote by Marianne Williamson recently where she says, when we have a sudden spiritual experience through illness, loss, or catastrophe, you'd think that would be the beginning and the end of your enlightenment. Instead, you spend the next 20 or more years in a wrestling match with the ego, whose sole purpose is to bring you to your enlightenment, but arguing the entire time. As my husband recently said, if the ego drops at the door of your spiritual entry, if the ego drops at the door of your spiritual entry point, you are enlightened. If it drops you somewhere else, you are insane. So my friend Mary McManus reads these prayers every day, and she is one who has achieved great spiritual awareness through her experience of polio as a child and post-polio syndrome as an adult. Her illness brought her directly to Goddess, and her obvious joy and pure love is contagious. I am sure she would tell us that her illness brought her where she is today. She exemplifies the kind of love that Ram Dass emanates here in the video after his stroke. Ram Dass calls his stroke a fierce grace. He said he lost his ego and for the first time saw who he really is. He pushed past the ego to soul, the one who arises above the ordinary to the extraordinary, the one who sees all without attachment to any of it. Ram Dass says the ego is like his wheelchair. It is a beautiful wheelchair to use and enjoy. Just don't take it personally. Om peace. Amen. So this is a prayer that was written about a year ago in September of 2010. Dear Goddess, how is life treating you, prayer blog reader? Another question which goes closely with this one, how are you treating life? Are we learning to recognize the times when we are mindful and also when we are mindless? Can we step back and say, ah, yes, I was very angry right then without judgment or incrimination? Resisting the river of change seems to be the human condition. Since we are all human, at least in this moment, you'd think we'd understand this so-called condition with more clarity. Let's face it, we will continue to tighten our grip in face of major change. Resistance builds, out-of-control tears form and spill spontaneously, and suddenly we want to control that which is totally out of our control. Then the sixth sense kicks in. We sense we have a choice to break down or break open, to take the fool's journey, that leap of faith. At times such as these, we accept the uncertainties of our lives, the mystery, the absolute beauty of the entire spectrum of the Odyssey. Can we learn to be comfortable with uncertainty? Can we pray for the strength to accept our lives exactly as it is, not how we wish it is or was or will be? We can look at our everyday reality as messages of what it means to be human, the human condition, the human reality. We are spiritual beings having a human experience and learning how to function in the world. Learning to hone good, old-fashioned common sense goes a long, long way. Om, peace, amen. So 10/31/2010. Today, let's see here. Today marks the end of the 365-day blogging challenge. Working towards this day has been life's greatest achievement. The joy was in the journey. This is an accomplishment of spirit, not of ego. Tomorrow we all have to seek the vision to meet a new day, no matter what anyone has accomplished in life. So I receive the blessings of these beautiful prayers, even as we move on to embrace another cycle. Never underestimate the constant movement towards the good, to Godness. Every day is a continuing process of growth, of lessons learned. Each day provides all of us with the opportunity to reach for higher and higher levels of consciousness. So we pause on this day to look back over a 365 prayer marathon with a vision that no prayer is a final statement on the great creation we see all around us in this world and beyond. Where do we go from here in this ending and new beginning? We realize that life begins anew every day, the more awake we become. If we look closely, no day is like any other. Let us reflect what has brought us to this very moment, the only time there is. Om, peace. Amen. And then we reach another November in this cycle of prayers. Dear Goddess, old Baxter, friend of Mukunda, who just turned 13 last week, slipped his tether up on the hill and ran for freedom to the river. Tom woke me up to tell me to bring a lead for Ulysses, who was the one who found Baxter stuck in the mud in the cold water. Then Ulysses picked a fight with him, from hero to buffoon in the space of 5 minutes' time. I took Muddy Yuli into the house, prepared some miracle drops for Baxter, and went to help Tom hoist the dog up the river embankment to safety. To the goddess of Ulysses and Baxter and all the dogs of this world, hear this. We humans are willing to crawl around in the mud to save your lives. And even though Ulysses wanted to pick a fight with you, dear Baxter, in reality, he's the one who saved your life. Earlier, Tom and Guthrie were going to go swimming at the Y, but Guthrie called at the last minute and canceled. Did Guthrie save your life, dear Baxter? In reality, a whole orchestration of helpers synchronized to save your precious life. When Mukunda was in his prime, he'd go visit Baxter on the hill sometimes 3 times a day. Once in a while, Muki ate Baxter's food, but mostly he went for the camaraderie. Then, when Ulysses joined our family, Muki and Yuli went up to visit Baxter together. One Easter, Ulysses stole an Easter bunny toy from Baxter. 6 weeks later, Baxter broke his tether and came down to our house looking for his toy. When I saw him running up the lane with Bunny and Mouse, looking over his shoulder to see if Ulysses was following, I immediately called his mistress. I said, "Your dog is brilliant. He remembered where his toy bunny was for weeks, and when he got away, came down to our house looking for it. Never underestimate the memory of a dog for his toy." Oh, peace. Amen. I actually made a Squidoo lens about that whole scenario with Baxter, because not long after that, we went up to visit Baxter to see how he was doing, and I took a series of pictures of Tom with Baxter. Baxter knew totally. He's a great white Pyrenees mastiff. Baxter knew that we had saved his life, and he was just so animated. He's an old dog. He's 13 years old, and he is getting wobbly and a little weak, but he's still with us now, and pretty soon he's going to turn 14. And it's just so cool to see this dog, just such a smart dog. I just can't believe it. Dear Goddess, another documentary film we watched over these last few days is Fierce Grace, about Ram Dass's life. I was especially taken with the concept of what Ram Dass calls being stroked. Ram Dass had a stroke in 1997 and nearly died. He believes he was spared because he still has work to do. He says he has much more to teach the baby boomers about aging without fear. As he lay on the floor immediately after the stroke, he stared at the water pipes without any thought whatsoever about the divine, goddess, or higher power. This was another sign to the great spiritual teacher that more work needed to be done on himself. Especially as we embark on the year 2011, we may as well accept that unknowns will present themselves to all of us. These events need not be viewed as good or bad. They simply are what is. Certainly outside events will spell success or failure on many fronts. Certainly it is much better to view everything that happens to us as learning opportunities. Let us first of all remember to take what is happening out there as a further signature to focus more intently on what is happening in here, that is, in the inner sanctuary of our mind. Let us remember, always remember, that none of us is ever alone in this year and all the years to come. Om peace. Amen. So, this is, as we get into January, my dog Ulysses became very, very ill, and he almost died. But it's pretty amazing to think that he didn't die. And so, dear Goddess, today I am thinking of the joy of old dogs. Puppies are delightful too, but often cause chaos and havoc in their rambunctious wake. Then, if they live up to be 3 years of age, we have a wise sage just waiting to awaken. Ulysses was more of a quiet soul through his life, except when on a lead. I remember well the lead pulling and the resultant tear of the rotator cuff a la left shoulder. I will always remember Mukunda chasing 4 sheep up our lane, and I feared into the eye of fast oncoming traffic. Instead, they veered left and ran along the grass to the golf course a mile away. I was able to coax the sheep back to the house with a bowl of corn, but Mukunda was nowhere to be found. When he returned an hour later with a soulful, guilt-laden expression, I hugged him, welcoming him back to the herd, for that is what all of us were to this part Australian Shepherd, part Golden Retriever. Now that Ulysses is in his senior wisdom years, I love being in his quiet presence. The whisper of a breeze, the call of the crow, the dark clouds before a storm, all of these and more are noticed more clearly with an old dog around. Life is real in his etheric aura. Om peace. Amen. And Ulysses, what we did with Ulysses to make sure he didn't die was a series of about 15 different steps. First of all, he got sick so close to the death after Mukunda died that I decided that he wasn't allowed to die. So all of these 15 things were natural remedies, and only save for one thing, we did have the surgical, we had his cancer surgically removed. But it is a miracle that his tumor could be removed, because he almost bled to death and all of these things were happening. And when he got his strength back, there was just a small window of opportunity where this tumor could actually be removed before he was about to go down again. So it's just a miracle, really. I think the prayers also were part of those 15 things that helped him survive. And he's still with us. He's very happy. He's extremely puppyish. And another thing that goes through this prayer blog is Ho'oponopono. Dear Goddess, self-healing with Ho'oponopono is a simple yet shakes up the mind, because we've all been raised to see the world as separate from us and outside of us. If I am 100% responsible for actualizing a problem, then I am 100% responsible for resolving it. All erroneous thoughts within myself and within my patients are transmitted to perfect love. We work directly with divinity, who does the alchemy of transforming all thoughts to love. I love you and thank you as a forgiveness appeal to divinity, and love begins this mystical process of transmuting all erroneous thought by neutralizing them and cleaning them away. In the process of finding clarity, a profound experience of letting go results, although results are not what we are striving for. Resentments, fear, anger, blame, or confusion is released by love, whose energy sends them into a state of void, emptiness, and true freedom. With the thoughts now empty and free, it is love which fills the void. The result is renewal. You are restored in love, and so is your patient or client, and all else who are involved in the so-called problem. Where there was love in your patient or client, there is now, where there was anger in your patient or client, there is now love. Where there was darkness in her soul, there is now the healing light of love. The following affirmations are crucial when caring for your patients and clients, as well as in all of your relationships. 1, the physical universe is a manifestation of my thoughts. 2, if my thoughts are cancerous, they create a cancerous physical reality. 3, if my thoughts harmonize with perfect love, they create a physical reality overflowing with love. And 4, I am 100% responsible for creating my physical reality. I am 100% responsible for correcting thoughts that create a disease reality. 5, there is no such thing as out there. Everything exists as thoughts in my mind. Let these thoughts be loving thoughts, expanding with loving compassion. These thoughts, these truths will set me free. Om peace. Amen. So let's see here. We have 1 minute left in the program, and I just want to say that I have hopes of getting this prayer blog. It's not the prayer blog itself. What I have done is collected these prayers into a narrative and have about 12, 13, 14 chapters with all of the themes that run through the blog, and I'm putting it into the book. And the book is called Prayers to Heal, Waking Up the Mystical Divine. And I have some people who are interested in publishing it, I think. But also, if not, I will self-publish it. So that is the end of this. I'm going to drop this radio show into a Squidoo lens and continue to promote the whole idea of a book of prayers. So love to all. I see you there, Joan. Thank you for showing up. I love you. And love to all. And I'm going to be playing Music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen. And here it is.